With an Now TV Sky Cinema Pass, you can start streaming the best movies around. From brand new blockbusters like Rocketman and The Lion King, to all-time favourites, including the Harry Potter collection. Whatever you feel like watching, we've got you covered. All with no contract. To start your 7-day free trial today, search Now TV. 18 plus new customers only. Auto renews at $11.99 per month unless cancelled. Cancel at any time. Terms apply.
This is Acast Recommends. Every week we pick one of our favourite shows, and this is one we think you're going to love.
So Some Families is a new podcast that explores every aspect of parenting through an LGBTQ plus lens.
I'm Lottie Jeffs, an author, journalist and reformed magazine editor and a mum of one.
I'm Stu Oakley, a film publicist who thought I was used to dealing with divas until I had toddlers.
Some Families will answer questions, break down myths and share funny, emotional and true stories. Subscribe now because seriously, you don't want to miss a single episode.
Acast is home to the biggest podcasts from the UK and around the world. Subscribe to this show and hundreds more now via Acast or wherever you get your podcasts.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors, the Bay Area Betches.
Betches!
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels! Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Nobody socks it to us like Amy Soccarellis.
Don't return to center, it's Lauren Fender.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
He makes us squee, it's Richie D. Ashley Schiavone, she don't take no baloney.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
One day your Rachel's in, and the next day you're out.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch. Higher than high res, it's Lauren Perez.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Just saying, okay? Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers, she ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. Oops, she did it again, it's Brittany Montano.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie. Let's take off with Tamala Plain.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Always ready for Nicole Passaretti.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Simple as rocket science, it's Dana Easy.
Is a frog's ass watertight? It's Rose and Sadie.
No one can do it like Andrea Jewett.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD. Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa. Nancy, cease and desisto.
We will, Joanna Rockland you.
I take the fifth with Dana Smith.
We love you guys.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we just love to talk about on Ye Old Brops. It's me, Ronnie. You can find me over on Rose Pricks, which is a Bachelor podcast. We're about to start recapping Listen to Your Heart next week. And here I am with the gorgeous Ben Mantelker of the Game Brain podcast and Real Housewares of Kitchen Island, which is a cartoon on YouTube you can watch and subscribe to and stuff. Hi, Ben.
Hey, what's going on?
Not much. How are you? I've got great news for you.
Whoa, really? What's that?
We get to watch Tom and Katie get married again soon.
Oh, my God. It's, you know what? During these tough times, I'm so glad that something is going right.
Yeah.
God threw us a bone.
The emotional abuse. Everybody, yay. Welcome to the show today. It is Vanderpump Rules Day. Real quick, couple announcements. We are doing the entire season of Tiger King. Most of those are on video as well as just audio. And you can find the video recaps and the audio recaps over on Crappens On Demand and Patreon and all that stuff. So go sign up for that. Also, we're going to do a live show. We were supposed to have live shows next week, but obviously the world is still stuck in. So are we. So we're going to do a show next week. You guys had asked for some times that were easier for East Coast people to make it. So we're going to do it on an actual show night, a Friday night. Whoa. So it's a week from this Friday. And it's going to be at 6 p.m. Pacific and 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and we are going to be recapping Real Housewives of New York City. You can find that on our Crappens on Demand. We'll do a pre-show first on Instagram.
Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
What did I say? New York?
New York City.
Yeah, yeah. Beverly Hills. The premiere of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Thank you. And yeah, we'll do a little pre-show thing on Instagram at 6, and then we'll go on Patreon at 6:30. So you'll need to be at the $5 level over on Patreon, okay? Go sign up. Also, get your merch. We have Isolate shirts in the Gather font. And vote Ben Ron 2020, okay? Now Bernie's out of the way. Now it can be Ben Ron. Only Ben Ron.
Finally. Finally our moment.
Yeah.
Gonna pounce.
And that's that. Are you ready to move on with this recap, Ben?
Well, in the words of Trixie Monocle, who debuted her new song at the top of this Vanderpump Rules episode, here's what I have to say about that. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's a countdown. She even put that in there. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. It's a countdown.
No, Trixie is just doing numbers now. That, not even any lyrics. She's just counting.
Well, actually, she's actually done counting. She used to say 3, 2, 1, hey. But now she's added 5 and 4 to the mix.
Yeah. It's a big, long countdown. This is sort of like her Bohemian Rhapsody. It's not just 3 numbers, it's 5.
She's going to pull a Bob Dylan and just release like a 30-minute single of like 30 minutes, 29 minutes, 39 seconds.
She probably will. And there will be some hipsters in Silver Lake who will actually buy and be like, dude, you got to listen to this shit. It's crazy. It's just a woman singing the minutes.
Finally, Bob Dylan tweeted at me. It's like, congratulations, Trixie.
So the show opens up over in Venice at the world famous Venice Skate Park, which is truly famous. It's like the birthplace of competitive skating, I think, something like that. I don't know, but it's like a whole big thing, and it's basically Max and Tom Sandoval and Jax, and I think Tom Schwartz. I don't know if Sandoval was there. I don't remember.
No, not Sandoval.
But basically the broing out and everything. And Max has decided that he wants to learn how to skateboard. And Tom Schwartz, he used to be a big skateboarder when he was a kid, so he's going to try to do it. And within a second, Max wipes out and Schwartz bashes in his knee and has to limp off, of course.
Yeah, this is one of those episodes you're just rooting for people to fall and get hurt. And that was fun, you know. Schwartz is like, back in 96, I was kick flipping stairs every day. Okay, glad you could find another useless fucking hobby, Schwartz. Okay,
yeah.
Is anybody else surprised to see Schwartz out there like trying to learn how to skateboard? Like, get a job.
Exactly, like fracturing his kneecap in the process. You know,
and Jax is like, I'm a pro. And Max is screaming out Mighty Ducks, Mighty Ducks a lot because you know Emilio Estevez and stuff. And Jax
actually has a point, though, by the way, because he's like, listen, this skate park is for people who are like professional skateboarders or like former professional skateboarders. Like, it's honestly not where you go to learn how to skateboard. And it's true. I mean, there's like no reason for those guys to be there.
Well, hey, I'm just thankful they're not getting their vaginas waxed or going to an axe throwing, you know, thing. So I have to hand it to them for not doing either of those things today. Unlike some people I know.
True. Sorry. You said that in a way that made it sound like I just went axe throwing and got my vagina waxed. I did not do either of those things. Okay. I just want the audience to know I've never done either of those things in my life.
You've never gotten your vagina waxed? You don't know what you're missing.
Never.
It stinks so good, Ben.
I'm sure. So basically
they have to talk about this Katie situation, right? You know it's bad when Jax has to bring it up. Jax, the most abusive person on Bravo, other than Reza, I would say, has to be like, so did you talk to Katie? And Schwartz is like, yeah, that was kind of intense. And Bo's like, yeah, I mean, like, you know, if you guys want to fight like that at home, I guess that's okay, but you're in public.
Yeah.
Brah.
And Schwartz is saying how, like, you know, the reason why he snapped at Bo last episode was that, like, Bo caught him off guard, and he's like, "And it's okay. I like being challenged. I really do. Mainly because I really don't have any opinions until I get drunk enough and I can access that reservoir of repressed emotions and let them out. But honestly, I like being challenged. It's okay. I was just tired and drunk, and the way she reacted to me, the way she did, I was utterly disgusted and shouldn't have acted the way I did by reacting to her totally disgusting, ridiculous response to a hilarious joke. I shouldn't have acted that way. I'm sorry, Bubba."
Yeah, he like totally whips out his baby voice for this whole episode, which is his apology voice. It's like his abusive and then, "Oh, Bubba, oh," and he even goes into different ranges as we go throughout the episode, to the point where he's getting like Sheena Muppet voice going on, where he's like, "Bubba,
Bubba." And you notice that he doesn't take any responsibility when he says it. He goes, "I was just tired and drunk, and the way she reacted, the way she did, I was just disgusted and shouldn't have acted that way." So he's saying, yes, I shouldn't have acted that way, but he's still saying, yeah, but she reacted in a way that I didn't approve of, and I was disgusted. I'm like, well, that's the issue, is that you were being so obnoxious, right? Like, it's not that you were tired and drunk. Like, you were tired. The issue, well, for you, for Tom Schwartz, the issue is that he was tired and drunk, and he finally said what he really felt for once, you know, but he was still obnoxious.
Yeah, and Jax is like,
"I don't know if
yeah, you're making sense. I just can't, like, Katie's such an asshole. Like, you can't say anything bad about Kate. I can't say anything bad about Katie because she was totally right and Tom's a prick, but I also am not going to the mat for Katie. So yeah. I'm just like, gonna let you have your moment.
I'm not going to the mat for Katie.
No, I know. I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying I'm not going to get dragged into being nice to Katie.
No. It's more about being mean to Tom Schwartz.
Yeah. Well,
it's more about. Yeah. It's more about like I'm sick and tired of his like cute little boy act. And like, no, just because you said that in a cute little boy tone doesn't mean I didn't hear what you were saying with your words and you took no responsibility there. And don't think that like your little boy aw shucks thing is going to work right now.
Yeah. Well, congrats. You've got another hour of it. Because it's great. This entire episode. So excited. Jax is like, "These girls, you know, they're just inedible. These girls are inedible." Like, it would have been fine if there was no girls there.
Yeah. This is how it happens, by the way. This is how terrible things happen in our society. When guys are challenged and then they don't know how to deal with it, and then they realize the real root of the problem is the women in the first place. This is where it all goes wrong, okay? We're seeing the seeds of it happening right here at the Venice skate park.
No, what's really wrong with this world is that when you have a problem with somebody, you try to eat them, okay? You can't just go around eating people. We've got to stop this in this country.
It's bad. That just shows you how bad Jax is, that he would actually try to eat someone, and I'm still mad at something else.
I know. She should have dressed like a sandwich for you to be more comfortable. So, Danica, Ariana, and James, and Brett, and Raquel, and Dana? Oh, my God. Just writing down names at this point. They're all at an axe-throwing place.
Yeah, they're there. And there's a guy named Bryce who's, like, the hatchet master, which, like, if you saw him – if I ever saw that guy walking down the street, I'd be like, don't know who you are, but I can just sense that you work with hatchets. I just get that vibe.
He it's does. Like, he like looks like he just came down choice. From, like, a smoky hill. And yeah, he like works for his pa, and he's got like a meth habit, but he also still has to go to work every day. So it's like he keeps it under control, you know?
Yeah. And but since he's in Los Angeles, he also, oddly enough, does voiceovers for commercials. And you're like,
how'd that guy get voiceovers?
How'd that happen? It's like I smoked a lot of cigarettes in the Appalachian Mountains.
Yeah, he just like fell into voiceover work. He's one of those people. It's like, oh, God, the hillbilly came down and just fell into fucking voiceovers.
Yeah, but then he always talks about it. So you're like, oh, so how long have you been working at this hatchet throwing place? Like, well, only for a little bit. But, you know, now that my voiceover career is taking off, I'm hoping to wrap things up in the next year or so. I'm like, what? You have a voiceover career?
He's like, guys, there's people behind you. Can we Expedia this along? They're like, wait a minute. You are the Expedia guy, aren't you?
Well, you got me. Here's an autograph. Signed your axe. I'll throw it.
He's like, don't do nothing stupid. I was like, yep, you're an axe guy. Definitely talk like an axe guy. So Ariana's like, Danica, would you say you have an axe to grind?
I take comedy very seriously, okay? So your pun better be good.
And the guy's like, I love an axe pun. Let's share a can of corn later.
So Raquel actually manages to hit the target first, unbelievably. And she's like, I had no idea that I would exceed everyone's expectations.
Expectations, sir. Expectations. How
sorry.
Dare you.
Expectations. I'm a bad axe, bitch.
Oh, that's the thing is Raquel can't really pull that off because she would say exceed expectations. Like she would, you know? I was like, oh, that was on purpose. Well, that was cute, but also frightening, yeah. You know?
And then also more tragically, Brett is like talking to Dana and he's like, yeah, you know what? We're in an axe throwing spot and I'm wearing axe. Dana goes, you sure are.
Yeah. She's like, so
never admit that on camera, by the way, that you're wearing axe. Okay, everyone, don't ever admit that on national TV.
Well, just to go toe to toe, I'm wearing an Old Spice deodorant today. You're welcome.
Well, that's all right, at least. Like, for some reason, I find it more pleasant if you were to say, hey, Ben, I was just clearing out my old spices from the cabinet, and guess what? I'm wearing Old Spice. I'm like, okay. But Axe body spray, that is some, like, Jersey Shore shit.
Yeah, well, later, never mind. Okay, so Brett's like, yeah, Axe. So Dana's like, are you coming to my birthday? Amazing. Amazing. Kristen and Katie might come, so... Just let you know. It's like, who cares? Why are we having another birthday? How about we go a fucking minute without somebody having a celebration about something, okay?
Seriously.
Just go Dana's for a bike like, ride. How about that?
Go for a bike ride. So Dana's like, yeah, bring that big dick energy. Bring that BDE. He's like, yeah, totally, totally. He's like, hey, by the way, you know what? I don't know if it's the haze of Axe body spray around my nostrils right now, but I was thinking that we should hang out outside of work. I feel like I don't see you outside of like parties or something like that. So I don't know. Feel like greasing up the hair and getting some lunch sometime?
He's like, listen, you're publicly humiliated every second of this show by Max, who's a slime ball, and there's no way I'm fucking Sheena again to get work. So let's try and make something happen here. Okay? Yeah. Please.
Like, I'd really love to take you out somewhere where I could look soulfully into your eyes and think about what I'm going to say about myself next. Can we do that?
And Dana's like, oh, my God, he's totally easy to talk to. Like, it's not forced at all. It's like, yes, it is. Okay? Yes, it is forced. And it's painful. Fast forward through this. Although I did love that Brett, someone got this gif and put it on our Facebook, which is so funny. Brett's, like, sipping a drink and kind of half winking at her. And then rolling his shoulder at the same time. It's like a slow, shimmy drink.
I didn't see the GIF. I saw it when it happened. And I was like, please stop. Dana's like, you know what? I'm just like afraid that Sheena's going to get weird. And Brett goes, she's not allowed to get weird about that. She's not allowed. I'm like, okay, sir. You know what? She is allowed to get weird about it because you went over to her house to have her world famous enchiladas. You played Scattergories. Then you guys boned. And, you know... All's fair after love and boning, and that's what happened. Okay, she's allowed to get into her feelings. Let Shishu have her feelings.
And then Dana picks up on that, and so she's like, well, Max doesn't get to feel bad for the rest of the
episode. Yeah, Max doesn't get a vote. Max doesn't get a vote. That's like her new thing. She's like, I mean, you'd think she's the governor of Georgia. Max doesn't get a vote.
Mm-hmm. So then Charlie...
Yeah, dude, it was a topical humor joke. No? Okay. Remember that guy won Georgia because he was also controlling the election boards? Remember that?
No.
Anywho, it was fun. It was great. It was a great moment.
I'm sorry.
It was great.
I'm sorry. Really like I was trying to figure out what this means. Kaharla. I would just do cobbler. And yeah, that's but Charlie's that's I know, but I was trying to figure out my own Kaharla. Word jumble over here, okay? Because I wasn't trying to be mean.
Because you mixed up Charlie with Carla from Cheers for a moment, and I think that's where things went wrong. You, like, had a Rhea Perlman vision.
She does give off kind of a Carla vibe. Maybe in, like, 20 years when she's way Maybe. More bitter.
She's the Carla origin story. She's like the Wicked for Carla.
Yes, back when Carla smiled. Like, throughout this, we're going to learn why Carla stopped smiling, you know?
When Carla was like became hardened because someone was mean to some to a lion in a cage at school.
I have a feeling it has something to do with nipple tape and avocados.
The cake. I'm telling you, the cake thing that happened in the end of this episode was formative. This is why Carla became Carla, okay?
Yeah, she's never going to ever trust a Shelley Long type. Dana.
By the way, off topic, which I know everyone's really excited about, I watched Passion. Did you ever see Passion, the musical?
Yes, I sure did. I saw it on Broadway.
I am so fascinated to know what you think about that
musical.
What
a piece of shit. That musical was such a hunk of shit. And when I saw it, they were changing it every day. They were doing rewrites of it, like literally every day they would do a different version of it. So God knows what version I saw, but it was one of the worst things I've ever sat through.
Because it was pretty bad, and the entire time I was like, oh God, I hope Ronnie has seen this, because I feel like he has some distinct opinions about this, especially Fosca and her, you know. Well, it's on YouTube, everyone. We watched a copy of it on YouTube, so go watch it at your own peril. But it's also painful. Hilarious. That could go on our list after Cats of something to watch and make fun of.
Okay, so we're getting to see people pretend to wait tables today, and Charlie's up first. She's like, honestly, I would just do the cobbler and the chocolate cake, honestly, like if you ask me. And the customer's like, well, what about the cheesecake, though? She goes, oh, well, I'm serious about my cheesecake, so I go to the Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah, she goes, I'm just a picky person. It's really good, too, but I'm just like a picky person, so I go to the Cheesecake Factory for that. You know, it's hard to get a reservation. Yeah, I like that. I also, by the way, fuck that lady, because she wanted the cheesecake all along. So why was she even asking Charlie? You know, that was one of those things where it's like, can you tell me about these three other things that I'm thinking about getting, but I know I want the cheesecake just so I know? Because that's what that question was all about, right?
Well, when people ask you questions like that, they're not asking you for your actual opinion. You know what I mean? Like, the lady who's able to spend $30 on an entree is not really caring what Charlie thinks. She's asking for her approval. That's it.
Yeah.
No one cares what Charlie thinks about cheesecake. Okay, Charlie? She just wants you to say good choice.
When I do it, I'm looking for nonverbal things. Okay. I'm like the mentalist of dessert questions, because I generally always will go for the
chocolate option. Hold on. Let me put on a very tight vest to order. All right. I'm ready to order this dessert.
Yeah. Because usually, when I ask the waiter, sometimes it's like I'm just usually looking to see their reaction, right? Because if they say, oh, that's really good, I don't get that often, but that's really good, I'm like, okay, it's not good. Because they always have to say it's good, almost always. But, yeah, that's why I'm, like, always trying to read between the lines. I'm like, CSI, waiter opinion.
Well, let me tell you what they're really thinking. I hate you, okay? And that's if they're even focusing on your face. Most of them aren't even going to see you or remember, wouldn't be able to pick you out of a lineup later. You could shoot somebody in the head right in front of them, and they would not notice you later, okay? Now, I know this doesn't make me sound like the best waiter, and guess what? I'm a terrible waiter. Okay, so anyway, Charlie is like, yeah, Cheesecake Factory. So then Vanderpump sees Guillermo! Guillermo, you're so handsome.
Yeah, and he gives her a hug because she just got back from her mom's funeral. And basically, all Lisa has to say about that is, well, it's very sad, but I'm British, so I'm going to bring myself together. Anyway, magic show, let's hear let someone. So they summon over Danica because Guillermo's like, so Danica had two tables. We give managers, you know, two tables, and she had two tables, and she messed them up and wound up charging $200 by mistake. We had to call, and Lisa's like, oh, that is horrible. How terrible that could happen. Max, other child, yes, you. Can you send Danica to us, please? Thank you. This is your one moment on screen for the season.
I know. Poor Max is just standing by the table waiting for some kind of raise or acknowledgement that he's, like, privileged in some way. He's like, please, am I still a food runner? Okay. All right, I'll get Danica. I'll be right back.
Max, don't take this the wrong way, but you're now Max number two on the show.
James's brother, Teethy, has taken over as number one.
Yeah, Frifa, how can I help you?
So Danica's like, you wanted me? And she's like, yes, I heard you screwed up two tables. And then you had to call and say, hello, it's me. I boned up your tables, darling.
And Danica's like, yeah, you know what? I take this job very seriously. I take it as seriously as Charlie takes cheesecake and Ariana takes sketch comedy. That's how seriously I take this job. And it was an honest mistake. And I just had a really stressed out day. And I know that's not no excuse.
No, it is not an excuse. That is not an excuse.
And I know I shouldn't be bringing my problems into the restaurant, but if I may offer up an excuse, I did make an honest mistake, and I was really stressed out.
You have brought your problems before, though, haven't you? And then we see a clip of her telling Danica, which we never saw on the show, right?
We saw this. Well, we never saw it on the show, but we saw this. We keep seeing. I think we've seen this flashback at least, definitely once, at least two or three times.
Of, love it.
Of Lisa saying, "You put your hands on Brett Willis.
I have to suspend you." And she's like, this like ruins my life." She's like, "And there was also an attitude problem. You went to Tom Tom and you were rude to Richardson. Richardson, who has worked with me for so many years and never gets it wrong."
I can't wait to see that sitcom. Richardson never gets it wrong.
It's on his LinkedIn. And yeah. Danica's like, I was confused. So... So listen, your attitude, listen to me. She's like, I do not have an attitude.
I swear I don't have an attitude. So Lisa's like, Danica's ambition is to be in the restaurant trade. She's in a management position. I don't know why she said that, but she just said that. It's like all of a sudden, like, hey, just in case everyone forgot who Danica is in the middle of this scene, this is her backstory.
And so, then they cut to Danica going, I do not have a fucking attitude problem.
This is bullshit. Find her a little rough around the edges. I've checked all her wings and they all seem to be working, and I have a problem with that. They need to be broken in some way.
Yeah. She's like, please, now go stand inside of that Rolls Royce you see out there. That's right, Ken. Back it up, and Broken Bird. All right, someone drag Broken Danica back in here, darling. She's rehired.
Danica, I hear that you have to breathe into a breathalyzer to start your car. Perhaps you were drinking because you felt alone in this world. Your parents have abandoned you on some form. You feel like people don't connect with you. You have a void that needs to be filled. Anything like that, please? No, please? No, I just partied too hard one night. Damn it! She's a perfectly fine bird.
So over at Bubba and Bubba's house, Schwartz is like, Bubba. He's like limping around. He's like, Bubba, I got overzealous at the skate park. Oh, look, I'm falling. Bubba, oh, Bubba, 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 raise your head up, Bubba. Bleep, bleep.
He's like, pass me the hot tamales. So Schwartz is, he's like, oh, I'm just, I want to see how you feel because, you know, I know it's tense, but it's nothing we haven't said before. You know, when I get drunk and publicly humiliate my very own wife in front of all my friends, nothing we haven't dealt with.
Nothing we haven't sailed. And then she goes, yeah, but Bubba, we haven't sailed that for a long time. And it really rocked me. It rocked me to my core. And he's like, but what I just was overreacting to your overreacting. You know, you were so overreactionist. And then I overreacted because you're disgusting. Which I don't mean sexually. I just mean it like, gross, vagina. Your vagina's disgusting. That's all I really mean. It's your fault. It's the point. I overreacted to it being your fault.
Yeah, he's like, I still am dumbfounded by your reaction. So he's not apologetic at all, you know. And she's basically like, it just seemed kind of insensitive in these times we're living in. And he goes, don't be a social justice warrior. I'm like, you know what? Fuck you, dude. Like I hate when people just like say that as like a blanket reproach. Like I don't have to hear what you have to say. I'm just gonna call you a social justice warrior, please.
He's like, what? Do you want a trophy too, Snowflake? Listen, Katie, I was just trying to red pill you, okay?
Listen, it was a harmless prank, and after the dust had settled, you were still sulking and scowling. Well, you know what? Like, sometimes that happens with pranks if they don't go off right or you don't know your audience, etc. And it's like, don't take it personally that she didn't think the joke was funny. If anything, you should have been like, I don't know, I think I would have like maybe like hugged her or something like that and be like, sorry, it was just a joke, didn't mean to make you feel sad. Rather than, why are you getting mad at her because she didn't laugh at your joke? That's for us to do.
Also, she's like, I was sulking because you were telling me off in front of our friends, so. And he's like, no,
yeah.
No, Bubba, no, no, Bubba, this scared me, Bubba. I thought it was self-indulgent and immature because they put so much time in. It's like he's overtopping this baby voice shit, so he's like, Bubba, they put so much time and work into it, Bubba. Like, you know, like he's sucking acting on a mic. What's wrong with
him? Like they put on like a new version of Joseph in the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Okay, like Randall spent a few thousand dollars voluntarily, okay, for this stupid prank. This was not something that was like 5 years in the making, you know, with like this is not the opening ceremony of the Olympics, okay? And like why it doesn't matter how much money they put into it. Why is that more important than your wife's feelings.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So she's like, well, I just want him to apologize for speaking to me that way. Like, he's entitled to his wrong opinion. But she's just like, you didn't help the mood, okay? A lot of people weren't happy with you, Schwartz. A lot of people, which is such a Katie thing. Like, it wasn't just me. Everyone's mad at you. And he's like, but I know I'm super disappointed in myself. Like, I was super turned off by you. Like, not in a sexual way. More in, like, a limp dick, never gonna get hard for you again kind of a way, you know? But I don't like being mean-spirited. Oh, I love you, Mama.
I love you, Mama.
Yeah. I really love you. I really, really love you. I really love you. I don't know why I got so mad. I don't know. I don't know why I did that. It's like, because you got drunk and you don't express your true feelings and you hide behind a veneer of being this awshucks, innocent little boy when you're evil.
Yeah. So she's like, well, okay, anyway, now that you've groveled for a while, let's just get over it and remind everybody that we're a great couple. Remember that engagement, that elaborate engagement that you gave me? Bo needs some advice, so I'm going to go totally give him advice. My first piece of advice is threaten him with a timeline and maybe tie a ring to a string.
Yeah.
Give her that.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a...
With a Now TV Sky Cinema Pass, you can start streaming the best movies around. From brand new blockbusters like Rocketman and The Lion King, to all-time favourites, including the Harry Potter collection. Whatever you feel like watching, we've got you covered. All with no contract. To start your 7-day free trial today, search Now TV. 18 plus new customers only. Auto-renews at $11.99 per month unless cancelled. Cancel at any time. Terms apply.
This is Acast Recommends. Every week we pick one of our favourite shows, and this is one we think you're going to love.
So Some Families is a new podcast that explores every aspect of parenting through an LGBTQ+ lens.
I'm Lottie Jeffs, an author, journalist and reformed magazine editor, and a mum of one.
I'm Stu Oakley, a film publicist who thought I was used to dealing with divas until I had toddlers.
Some Families will answer questions, break down myths, and share funny, emotional, and true stories. Subscribe now because seriously, you don't want to miss a single episode.
Acast is home to the biggest podcasts from the UK and around the world. Subscribe to this show and hundreds more now via Acast or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crappin's commercial.
Those are my plans.
Yeah.
So then we go over to Villa Blanca, and Stassi and Katie march in like they're royalty, and which I guess they sort of are in that restaurant, which is sad. And then Kristen joins too. At first they're like Stassi and Katie are like bah, 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 bah. They're talking about who knows what, and then Kristen sits down and they just like clam up, and it's cold and there's awkwardness. And the reason why the three of them are there is because they have to plan a Witches of WeHo party. Which is this wine that they are now reluctantly all bound to. I don't know why they would go to Villa Blanca to plan it, except for the fact that that's where the producers said they had to be, so that way Lisa could drop by and ruin everyone's plans with Kristen.
Also, I think this is their plan, because Katie lazy. So she's like, look, I mean, the location can be whatever. We'll just have a lot of pink roses. It's like, oh, so basically here.
Yes.
She's just like looking around. She's like, you know what I'd like? Everything to be white with some pink roses and overpriced giant tubular pasta. Okay. We found it.
Let's have some sticky toffee pudding there and some tuna tartare. That'd be great.
Now, is anybody going to try and guess why I'm wearing a short jumper that's brown with white polka dots? Anybody want to try and guess? Okay. I'll just let it pass.
Yeah, so Stassi's talking about how she realizes that in business she wants to be a dictator and not in a democracy, which is probably a good thing to a realization to come to at this early point in her life. And so they're just sitting there, and then all of a sudden we hear, trouble's here! And it's Lisa Vanderpump standing with her friend Elena, who also happens to be the wife of none other than Maestro Nicolaine!
I would like you to meet Elena Elaine, also known as the lady who holds my dog for me.
Well, I hope you're having a perfectly wonderful time here at Villa Blanca. So funny that I ran into you. Who would have thought that you'd be here? Anyway, have a great time at Vegas doing something very, very important that I'm sure you're all invited to. Goodbye.
And then the music's like, uts. And Kristen's like, oh, Vegas? I have no idea what she's talking about. And then we find out, Stassi's like, yeah, Lisa didn't necessarily spill the tea about them getting married again in Vegas, but regardless, Ox City for realsies.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I got a mouthful of iced coffee on that one.
Delicious.
Delicious. I needed to. You know, that was a rough Lisa Vanderpump impersonation for me. I dried my throat out real quick.
Kristen's face, I mean, my God, she's like having regular jerks, like shoulder jerks, face jerks, and then she's having internal face jerks where like one cheek is like jerking over to the other side of her, like one of her eyes just pops out, like just a spring holding my eye in as it dangles there. It's like, poor Kristen.
You know what she looks like? You know that old thing of like, let's go out to the movies, let's go out to the movies. There's like a popcorn and a soda and a hot dog like walking together saying, let's go out to the movies. You know that little cartoon thing?
Yeah.
She looks like she's the hot dog at the front of the line, and then like the hot dog turns around to be like, let's do it one more time, guys. Then she realizes the popcorn and the soda and everything else is nowhere to be found, and she's just a hot dog walking alone, singing a song to herself, and her fellow concession refreshments have abandoned her.
Oh, poor Kristen.
she's a hot dog walking alone in the world. Because she does sort of have that, you know, because the hot dog has like that confidence, right? The hot dog's like, yeah, I'm tall. I got a bun. I've got like an accessory. I'm walking. I'm running this parade right now. Yeah, let's go out to the movies. Seriously, let's go out to the movies and have ourselves some fun. Seriously. And then all of a sudden, just a hot dog.
The other snacks are like, ew, pig parts and sodium nitrates are so out right now. Let's leave hot
ew,
dog.
We are staying home and watching something on Netflix.
So Casita something, some restaurant. Dana
Casita
is...
Casita del Campo.
Oh,
where,
duh.
Remember?
Yeah.
Remember? We were trying to have a live show there way back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Why would they go all the way over there? I guess they live over there. But yeah, Casita del Campo.
I think they got lost. And they got lost on the way to Mixology 101.
So Dana meets up with Brett, and she's like, can we order a cocktail? Because those are vegan. Like, thanks for bringing me to this fucking place.
Okay. At least there's one thing you can eat, you strange praying mantis man. So, they're hanging out, and Brett's like, yo, I'm a bros before hoes guy, so I told Max that we're hanging out, you know? I already know just from knowing you for like 2 months that you have a great head on your shoulders, and that's not easy to find out here. I'm like, okay, this is so patronizing. Stop saying that, because you don't really know that. And second of all, stop talking about how like it's not easy to find out here in LA when you've been here for 3 months and you've done nothing but hung out in the douchiest corners of the city.
And I love that he's like, you have a great head on your shoulders. Yeah. And she's also really hot. You just walk up to any girl. Wow, you look like you're intelligent. Is that Sudoku you're doing on the train? Would you like to get married? You seem to have a good eye for numbers. All right.
It's just like very Carl for him to do that. Like, yeah, I could really tell you. Yeah, so you got a great head on your shoulders.
You look great.
You look great, by the way. You look great, by the way.
So Dana's like, uh-huh. Well, I feel like you look in depth. You look for depth in people, which is cool, but you also love the like YouTube Insta model, like with long black hair and a Coke bottle body. And he's like, yeah, but you know what? It's just that, like, I just want someone who's capable of understanding me. Oh, okay. Yeah, you know what? It's going to be really hard to find somebody who can swim the depths of your workout videos on YouTube.
Yes. Like, what is there to understand? Is it like MetRx nutrition? Got it. Okay, what's next? Herbalife? Got
Pull-ups,
it.
Pull-ups, darling.
So, yeah, but Brett says, like, he's trying to, like, you know, because she basically calls him out on the fact that he just loves skanky Instagram models. And he's like, no, it's not that they're my type, but I do like something to handle. Okay, I do like something to handle. I hate when guys say that, as if like you can't handle Instagram models are the only type of people that you can quote unquote handle. I think he's saying like a butt, right? Like a big old butt. Is that what he's saying?
Yeah, because she's saying curvy, and he's like, yeah, I like something I can handle.
Yeah, you could, like, if you got, if you can, I don't even know why I'm getting onto, I'm taking myself off the soapbox. This is such a stupid soapbox to stand onto. I'm like, I just started jumping onto it.
I hate it when guys like curvy ladies.
I'm like, I actually don't mind if guys like curvy ladies. I just think I get mad. I'm just like mad at literally everything he says.
It's not even real curvy. It's just like when you say, like, I need a little something to hold, like to handle. It's like you're still talking about a twig. You're just talking about a twig with the butt pads now. So please give me a break. That doesn't give you any added depth. Okay. So then he says something. He starts talking about his ex-girlfriend again, because that's like all he talks about. And he's like, you know, if she was driving, I was shotgun. Like, I had to take a back seat, but like literally the back seat, because literally children can't sit in the front seat. What is that? What is he saying?
I honestly couldn't tell if he was being figurative or literal, because he said like how he was you know, he needed someone who could understand him, and in his last relationship, it just didn't work out because she put him second. Like, he was in the backseat of the relationship, and not in the backseat like, oh, cool, he's being chauffeured and Ubered around. He was in the backseat like, because that's where kids go, because kids can't go in the front seat. So I think he was trying to make a joke, but I kind of also envisioned him sitting in like a little like kiddie chair in the backseat with a juice box.
Yeah, because he keeps saying literally. And then he was like, if she was driving, I was shotgun. So that means he was in the front seat, right?
I'm just not sure he knows how to use words. So maybe we should just like not take it at face value.
Yeah. Well, at least he's not a woman, an inedible woman, like Jax would say. So then Dana starts talking about her mom, because they have the same birthday and her mom passed away. And so her birthday is really hard for her. And she's crying and stuff. And he's like, sorry you had to go through all that. Let me help you by showing you this makeup that can really help with that cat eyeliner, okay?
You ever made out with a seahorse before?
So, do you want me to sit behind you while my ex-girlfriend explains how to properly put on fake eyelashes? Because I will.
Do you want me to ask you when we're going to be there? Are we there yet? Do you want me to say that over a few times? So back over at Villa Blanca, Lisa's at her table with Elena. And she basically summons Stassi over, like the waiter goes to Stassi and is like, you have been summoned to Lisa's table. So Stassi goes over there thinking that she's in trouble, but really just Lisa wants to gossip. And she's like, so seriously, what's happening with Beau? When are you going to get that ring, girlfriend?
She's like, at first we were just like, whenever this stupid fucking horror show of a white trash wedding is over, we'll do it. But then the wedding ended, and he should have been fucking proposing to me that motherfucking day. What the fuck?
Yeah. And Lisa's like, I'll get a diamond out of that little fucker in 2 weeks. Just you wait. Just you wait. Enric Strassi, just you wait. That doesn't make sense.
Just you wait, Henry Higgins.
Just you wait. Stassi Higgins would have made more sense than Enric Strassi.
Just you wait. I've been singing My Fair Lady. Damn it, it's because you were watching that Broadway HD.
Did you sign up for it yet?
I signed up for the free trial thing, but then I never watched it because I was like, but I've already seen all these shows. I like the ones I want to see, except I haven't seen Kinky Boots. So I need to sign up just to watch that. I still haven't seen it. Have you?
Dom watched that. I only got to see a few scenes because I think we were podcasting.
Oh. But yeah, no, I didn't. I was watching Homeland instead and Ozark.
Oh, I heard Ozark season 3 is amazing. Haven't even started the first.
You stole my drugs. Ozark the musical. It was really good. Yeah, it was okay. But I figured out stupid Laura. You know, I don't like Laura Linney. She makes me crazy. And yes, I figured out why. And it's because she acts by repeating words. And that's how she comes across like she's being real. And it makes me crazy. She'll be like, so what you're saying is that we should take the car. Down to what I'm saying, that's her way of sounding natural, and it makes me fucking crazy. But I still sat through that whole damn season. It was really good.
That sounds like that old. Well, I'm not even going to go down there. By the way, big news: some groceries were just delivered. I have to text Dominique to go get them from the door. Hold on one second, everyone. Wait with bated breath.
I know. I know that we're really focused in this recap. Anyway, we're like, hey, so what'd you watch on Broadway HD? You know what I like? Toenails. I've always really liked them. Protect your toes.
I just had to text Dom to get them because you know they don't. Sometimes they don't ring the doorbell, so you just have to like let them know that there's groceries on the other side of the door. Okay. Sorry, this is like, you know, this is what this is, you know, groceries have arrived. Anyway, back to this show. So, you know, they're just like talking. And then Lisa's like, you know, she's saying like, oh, I heard that you and I heard there's a little dissension with Miss Doty, huh? And Stassi's like, yeah, so Kristen doesn't know about Katie and Tom getting married again in Vegas AF. And Lisa goes, oh! Yeah, she's not invited.
Did I put my foot in it? Oh no, Elena, catch me while I faint, Elena, catch me. Catch me, Elena.
She's like, if you don't tell her what's happening in Vegas, she would be seriously PO'd. And Stassi goes, who cares?
Yeah.
And then cares the scene just she's ends. Pissed.
Who cares? She like comes from Minnesota all of a sudden. Who cares?
So then, rip off of gorgeous. Oh,
baby, you're gorgeous. Woohoo, baby, you're gorgeous.
That's the next song, but it's like a rip off. It's like,
we're going for tacos.
It's like, okay, Trixie, don't just steal gorgeous.
Going for tacos. You actually started singing a Tina Turner song. I don't know if you realize that, but you actually started singing one of Tina's songs off of the Private Dancer album.
She sings the exact gorgeous? Tune.
No, she sings a song that's, you gotta show some respect. And that's the tune that you just did.
Oh, so gorgeous ripped off Tina. So there you go.
Wait, what's gorgeous? Is
baby,
gorgeous like
gorgeous.
A...
gorgeous! Na 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 na.
But who sings the gorgeous song? Because that is like very close to you gotta show some respect. You gotta da-da-da-da by Tina. Wait, what song? What's gorgeous?
Baby, you're gorgeous.
Is that by what's his face? Bruno Mars. It sounds very Bruno Marsy.
Baby Bird, you're gorgeous. Wait.
Baby Bird, you're gorgeous.
I don't know, you guys. Jeez, don't put me on the spot. It's just a song I hear. Maybe those aren't even the lyrics to it. Not very good. This is going to be a 20-hour recap. Coronavirus is going to be solved by the time we're done with this recap.
Well, good. You said that like it's a bad thing.
We're all going to have going back to school issues.
Oh, God man. Forbid no. We occupy ourselves with this stupid recap until coronavirus is fixed. Happy Passover, by the way, to everyone tonight.
Sorry, I was listening to this song called Baby.
I know you're
gorgeous.
Looking it up. I know you're looking it up.
Okay, let's just forget it. Someone's going to know what I mean and tell us in the comments. Okay.
At the very least, everyone can listen to Respect, like, or like, You Gotta Show Some Respect by Tina Turner. Not to be confused with Respect by Aretha, of course, which we all know how that goes.
So, Bo is getting advice. He's at the casting office right now. And you know, because he's talking casting with the lady. And he's like, whoa, what about her? She looks amazing. She's got a great resume. Okay, thanks for coming in here, casting lady. I'm going to have a private meeting now.
I know. That was actually, I think, his boss, maybe. I thought I saw it said his boss. But she basically was like, I'm getting out of here. No. So Tom Schwartz and Katie come in. And Tom is like, oh, cool, we're in a casting office. Hey, my name is Tom Schwartz. And I'm auditioning for the role of asshole boyfriend and asshole friend. And Katie's like, yeah, and you could throw asshole husband in there, too. He's like, oh, yeah, I forgot.
I love that Katie just, like, lets it slide that he's also mean to his girlfriend. So Bo's like, did you notice that Bo is talking like Sandoval during this scene? I mean, he's talking like Schwartz during the scene. He's like, I was afraid if you parked outside my house, you guys would see us fighting because we've been fighting too. So like, oh my gosh. It's like, why are you talking like Schwartz? Stop it.
So he's planning his engagement to Stassi and he wants help from Katie and Schwartz. And he says this because he thinks that the only ones that can keep a secret. I mean, Katie, I believe. But Schwartz, I feel like Schwartz is like pretty much known that he's going to tell everyone, right? And he'll be like, oh, sorry. I thought I could just tell this one person, but then they told everyone, sorry.
Well, and then Katie runs right to Stassi right after this scene and is like, oh, my God, Bo said you guys got in a fight.
Yeah, so. That's true, too.
So Basically, Bo gets rings from his aunt and his dad, which is not fair, and that doesn't count. You better figure out a way to go buy some fucking rings. I don't know who you think you're marrying, but Stassi doesn't need some hand-me-downs.
Well, she probably loves hand-me-downs because they come from dead people. She's well, like, oh, this find is a way.
You better tie like $20,000 to one of them.
Well, they're from Tiffany, I think. Either way.
They are used. They are used. You better tie some fucking rings. Money to that. I'm warning you right now.
Well, either way, Bo has a great idea. He's like, you know, Stassi loves graveyards. And, you know, she was saying that she really wants to go look for mausoleums after... I forget what it was that happened, but something happened. After her grandma died, she wants to go look for mausoleums. So he's got this whole plan that they're going to go look for mausoleums. He's going to plant the ring box there and he'll be like, oh, what's that? Or he's going to make her look distract her and then he'll get down on a knee. But he's going to have a whole like full on, you know, Nightmare Before Christmas, basically engagement.
Yeah. I'm going to hide it inside of a dead person and then she's going to have to put her hand down the dead person's throat and like go blah, blah, blah for a used ring, all for a used ring. And then he gives us this load. He's like, I want to marry Stassi because she's the most important person in my life. We laugh. She's charming. I don't want to live a day without her. I want to think about her before I go to bed. I want to think about her when I wake up in the morning. Love, death, taxes, and Stassi. It's like, okay, it's official. He's a fucking murderer. What is wrong with this person? Who talks like this?
Well, you know, I did have to say, I did think it was very sweet that he was like, we can just look at each other and eat mac and cheese. I was like, that's kind of goals right there.
Not really. Fucking go look at somebody and eat mac and cheese. What the hell? I do that with half the population. I'm not giving them a used ring over it.
I like the used ring point. I like how that's like really bothering you.
It does bother me. This girl has waited forever. She dated Jax, okay?
That's true.
Stassi's got her issues, but she deserves more than a ring. And then you're not even going to give her all the rings? He's like, which one should I give her out of these? Pick your top two. It's like, oh, wow, she doesn't even get all the used rings?
Maybe they can like melt them down into a brand new ring. I don't know. Barrette.
Maybe here, like a big used barrette.
Let me change your perspective of this. Would you rather Bo give Stassi some used rings, or would you rather another scene with Kyle Chan where Bo tries to figure out a free ring to give Stassi?
Kyle Chan. Listen, wow, Stassi has had to sit through everybody else's free rings from Kyle Chan. You know, she should get a free ring too. She's earned her goddamn free ring from Kyle Chan.
That's true. That is actually true.
I mean, at least she'll be able to take that back later, you know, and hawk it for something.
No, I think that Stassi likes not having a free ring from Kyle Chan. It's like the equivalent of having a house in Valley Village at this point, right? Because everyone has the house in Valley Village, but she got a house in the hills. So now she's going to have a non-Chan ring, which I think is actually more important to her.
Yeah, but she could take the Chan ring and sell it, you know, pawn it, hawk it, get whatever, and get, you know, get a pool in her backyard, you know?
Oh,
get a good security system for that new house. I don't know. Pay for those new stairs you're putting in.
The teak. They have a whole teak issue in their house, I feel like.
Yeah. You don't marry for money, but you should marry with money. Like, there should be, maybe not solely for money, but... yeah, I don't know. Make an effort over there. So basically, Katie has no advice. Why would you ask Katie anything? So then we go to Kristen's house in Valley Village.
Well, Kristen's driving in her car. It's like now we're seeing the movie Hot Dog is now trying to find the rest of his little parade. And as Kristen's driving, so she calls up Sheena and she's like, seriously? So I like went to Villa Blanca with the bitches of WeHo. Did you hear that? Bitches of WeHo. It's a wordplay. And Lisa was there, and she said something about going to Vegas, and Katie and Stassi knew what she was talking about, and like, I don't know, and I almost just drove over the road because my shoulder hit my steering wheel. Sorry.
So Max had mentioned going to Vegas with Schwartz, and they're like doing their wedding over again or something, and Kristen's like, oh, Max is going? Oh!
Yeah. I mean, I introduced Tom and Katie, and they're also, like, my best friends for a decade, so, like, I don't know, like, is this, like, a caca moment, a Mariposa moment, or a seriously moment? I don't even know anymore.
This is super hateful. Katie is just a bitch. Blech.
And Sheena's like, well, I wasn't invited either. I mean, what the hell?
And she's like, this just seems very vinyl.
Yeah, so then, I mean, it is, by the way, it is totally obnoxious. Because even if you are feuding with Kristen and you can't stand her, if you're still saying things like, I love you, but I just need space, that's fine. But a wedding, even if it is a stupid second time Vegas wedding, like, invite your fucking friend that you claim that you love. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, they suck. But, you know, it's Katie. So every year it's like, who's Katie going to try and oust from the group?
Yeah.
So, sir, back in the game. We're back in the game. So then, guess what the special of the night is? How many times has Sheena had to say this in her life? She's like, well, hello. The fish of the day today is a pan fried or pan cooked Chilean sea bass. Right?
it must be just put it on the menu.
No kidding. Do they just get it? Do they know somebody in the sea bass business? Like, what the fuck?
Is it just like the Heather Locklear of the menu where, and introducing Heather Locklear or guest star Heather Locklear when she's been on the cast for that long? Is it like the Marlo Hampton of Sir? Just put roasted Chilean sea bass, pan roasted Chilean sea bass on the menu at this point.
Every night.
So Brittany shows up. Yeah, she's wearing the Sir uniform. She's like, hey, miss me? And it's. She really is. She really is doing that laugh. And so Peter, she's basically coming back to work at Sir. And she's saying like, oh, well, I say I never want to be in a situation where I'm not contributing to the finances anymore. So I'm taking back up at work at Sir again, because I put in half for the house and half for the car and half for the checks mix that we got yesterday. So I got to start earning my monies and stuff.
So then Sheena is talking to Dana at the bar, and Dana's like, hey, how are you? And she's like, I don't feel good. I had a fourth injection because I've been getting my body ready for freezing eggs, and it's like I'm a few days away from my retrieval, and then they have me on new meds, and they're sticking me, and it really hurts. She's like, well, do you want to go home? She's like, no, it's okay.
Yeah. So, so Dana's like, yeah, so I just want to let you know, because I'm trying to be really transparent, that, you know, I went out to lunch with Brett and I felt a connection. So just letting you know. And she was like, yeah, well, we're just friends. Yeah, just friends. Like, totally not like concerned about this at all. Like, we're just friends. We're just friends. We're just friends. We're just like best friends. Like best friends who, like, maybe in the future we'll fall in love. But like for now, we're not like falling in love. We're sort of like already in love, but we're friends. We're friends.
Yeah, we're just friends. I just pre-ordered him a new Magic Keyboard for his iPad that was like $400 on Amazon. So just friends.
And she's we're just friends. In fact, I named the penguin after him. Just friends. Because I got him a penguin.
And she's like, yeah, but you've also said that you might conceive children with him in the future or something along those lines. She's like, oh, well, I say that to everyone. Yeah, just still shut up. You know, I just say that to everyone. Shut up. Because everyone's like, oh, my God, when are you guys going to be together? And I'm like, friends, we're just friends.
Dana's like, so I just don't want to step on any toes. Like, so if this develops into something, you don't care?
No, I don't care. I don't care at all. I don't care.
And then Sheena goes, so basically Dana going out with Brett Dana's going out with Brett to give Max a big fuck you. And it just like shows what sort of person she is. I mean, not that I've ever done that every single season, but you know, corner.
She's like, okay, you're sure. Cause I don't want issues. She's like, nope, good. She's like, okay. So is this my edible mojito? It's like, what?
I missed that part.
How did you miss that? I thought you were going to be all over that.
You know what? I think I was still like laughing at when Brittany was trying to remember the table numbers and Peter was like, okay, so we're just going to go over the table numbers. What table is this? One. He goes, wrong. She goes,
So then Lala and Dana come over to Tom and Ariana's house for girl day by the pool. Girls.
A
bunch of gals hanging out.
You look sexy lady, let's all get into swimsuits. They all get into Ariana's swimsuits, and they're all like, they go out to the pool out back to hang girls' time. And Ariana's there. She goes, well, this was nice until that one fly showed up, asshole.
And Dana looks at Lala's swimsuit and she goes, oh my God, I love a high waisted line on a swimsuit. I mean, guys hate them, but who cares what guys think, right? I was like, wow.
Finally. Thank you, Dana. So, yeah. So then they start talking about tasting their own vaginas, you know, and Lala's like, yeah, I want to know what Randa's tasting. I'm like, if you really want to know what Randa's tasting, you better just go to Popeye's and see what they're sold out of.
I know, no kidding. What do you think your pussy's tasting? I would worry more about that. Your pussy's probably sick of having double helpings of fried chicken. I'll tell you that.
I know, exactly. And then Lala goes, every great chef tastes their food. So there's that. Chef, insert Chef Joe joke if you must.
No, I'll just let that go. So Dana's like, yeah, oh, so they're talking about how she went out with Brett. And Dana's like, yeah, well, he's a perfect specimen. But, you know, because if Max had blinders on. But yesterday I was like, interested. And so Ariana's like, so did you invite him to your birthday party? Like, are we still talking? Why are we sitting on the ground? Why do I insist on having fucking pool furniture that you're sitting on the ground? It's like I never leave, sir.
Oh, God. Lala, are you still asking that fly if it's tasted its own vagina? It's not going to answer you. So, yeah, so Ariana's like, so they're asking if Max was invited. Ariana's like, so Max is like with Tom right now, and apparently he like doesn't know that he's invited. And Dana's like, oh, what a freaking martyr. So then we cut over to Max, who is being a martyr, and he's like, yeah, so basically Dana didn't invite me to her party. I mean, she's just saying she invited me to make me look good, but she didn't actually invite me. I'm like, isn't saying that she invited you the same as inviting you? Isn't that possible? So for a moment, I actually have to say I was on Dana's side, but then it goes back to Dana, and she's like, my birthday's an open invitation. Did I text Max and invite him personally? No, but he knows he's invited. I'm like, okay, actually, you know what, bitch? You did not invite him.
Yeah. And why would you? Leave him out. Yeah. Screw that guy.
Learn from Katie.
So then, Doheny, Stassi and Bo's lovely dinner.
You know, I have to applaud Bo because he really has mastered the art of Blanche Devereaux hair. He has got full on like season 2 Golden Girls, Rue McClanahan, Blanche Devereaux hair going, and it works for him. It's got like this nice like fluffy, it's like that mild bouffant that Blanche would have, you know?
Yeah, and Stassi's really mastered that look, like that she's just been toilet papered in every dress she wears. Like this one is like a strap that goes from one arm over the other one and kind of ties her in to the dress, and then there's like another cutout strap thing below it, and she's like, I fully can't lift my arms, so
let's just think. I'm trying to remember the visual of that dress right
it's,
now.
It's like cutouts, but also
it's like
also like shoulderless, but also with the shoulder, but then also, I don't know, it's crazy. It's
clearly crazy both dress. Of us were less interested in the scene and more interested in focusing on some random detail. Like I was focused on Brett's hair. I mean, I'm on Bo's hair, and you were focused on Stassi's strap, and we were like, let's look at these things instead of hearing what they're talking about. Because the truth is they weren't really talking about anything very interesting.
Yeah, because I'm really fucking sick of weddings. I'm sick of it. Like, what do I just have to sit here and watch every single person on this show get married? I'm over it. Do a different show, okay? I need a different show.
Well, it's also, one thing that may be worse than weddings is watching scenes of people like saying things like, when am I going to get married? When am I going to get married? When am I going to get married? Like, that's not that interesting. But Stassi's mad basically at Bo because Bo, after that big fight with the prank, Bo had texted Katie to say, hey, Stassi and I got into a fight also about like getting engaged that night or some stupid fight. And he texted Katie that to make Tom and Katie feel better about the fact that they weren't the only couple that got into a fight. So I was like, that's not your job. I barely even really know what your job is anyway, but I know that that's not it.
Yeah, she's like, and I hate being vulnerable. So you think I like my friends asking about me being vulnerable? You think I like that?
Yeah.
And he's like, Baba, I'm not trying to hurt you. Ooh, Baba. And this is now his Schwartz voice is over the top, and I can no longer pay attention to the scene. So you just finish it and tell me when it's done.
Okay, so basically what happened is that like Bo has been saying that he needs more time, acting as if he's having like he's like scared of marriage, but the truth is that he is really eager to. He just has this plan in place and he's just trying to like stave her off. But the more he tries to stave her off, the more crazy she gets. And he's like, I don't know what's more important, my mental health or surprising her for an engagement. And he's like, surprising her. But then meanwhile, Stassi's getting mad and she's like, because what all she wants to do is give an ultimatum. That's like, that would be her dream. Like she probably just masturbates the idea of giving an ultimatum, because she probably gives an ultimatum to like literally everyone in her life. And she's being really good about not giving him an ultimatum because she just doesn't want to be that person. So instead she's just like suffering and just like in this moment of not knowing when it's going to happen. And so she's going nuts and she runs off to the bathroom and she's mad.
Well, she's going through a very rough thing. You know, it's really hard when you're like, but I'm richer and I'm famous. Why am I having to beg you?
Exactly.
It's a conundrum. So then Rockin' Riley's.
She's like, how can I work in a, how dare you into this conversation tonight? I don't know how to do it. I'm just going to go to the bathroom.
It's my fucking mausoleum.
Yeah, she hasn't been able to say it's my fucking birthday this season either. So she's going through a lot.
Yeah. So let's go over to Rockin' Riley's. It's Rockin' Riley's birthday party.
Woo! So everyone's showing up. Kristen does that. She does that thing that's so Kristen. You know, people always do it, but like when Kristen does it, it's really funny because it really shows off her gangly nature. When you do like a series of air kisses, you know, she's like walking up to the bar and she has like both her hands on her mouth doing the like the rapid fire, like, but it's like because it's her, it's just like watching. It's just like watching two out of control antennas, you know, just like seriously, kiss for everyone, seriously, gangly arms.
Danica gives Dana a cake with her it's her costume from Pride, basically. She's in her costume from Pride, and Danica's like, "Oh, we've had our ups and downs, but I like the girl. She gives me shit for having to breath lives before I get in a car, and I gave her shit for picking shitty men. So it's fun."
Perfect friendship. I'm like, sounds perfect. Sounds really, really perfect.
How come we're never seeing Brett Lewis or what's his name?
Brett Willis.
Brett, what are you talking about, Willis?
I suspect that if Brett Willis had agreed to allow his life to be on the show, that maybe Brett and Danica would be full-time cast members.
Yeah.
Because Danica's on the show a lot, and she's also the center of a lot of drama, but she's not an actual cast member.
Yeah. I think she will be next time.
Maybe.
So James is there and he's like, don't want to drink at all, darling. Don't need a drink at all. Last thing I'm thinking of is a drink, darling.
And then Brett walks up to Sandoval. Tom's wearing a hat and Brett's like, I almost wore the same fucking hat, bro. Almost did. In fact, I put it on, but I actually have so much grease in my hair that I turned it transparent instantly.
And Charlie is wearing this dress that looks like basic. It's like all the way open in the front. And it basically looks like someone is reaching around from behind her and just covering her nipples with their pinky finger. And Ariana's like, how are you even wearing that? And she's like, well, I bought my boobs. She goes, I call them Tia and Tamara. Sister. True story.
Oh, God. And then Lisa Vanderpump actually shows up with Nicolene and Elena, and she's like, I don't normally show up at my staff's birthday parties, but I like Dara. What's her name again? Doris? Delilah? Diesel?
I love Vin Diesel. Her birthday party is a big deal, big!
And then we meet the sister Brittany, Dana's sister Brittany. And she's like, I heard about your mother and your birthday. It's so significant that you're here. You're a good, good girl. Loves her Elvis. Likes Jesus.
Because I'm free. Free bumtinis for everyone at the bar.
So Schwartz invites Ariana to his wedding. And he's like, we're doing it at Caesars. Of course you are.
Of course.
You can get some free shit there. God, yeah. You two are so predictable.
Exactly. Of course they're doing it at Caesars. They're probably going to have their entire reception at the Vanderpump.
Yes. They're just doing it for free shit. My God. Do you guys do anything on your own? Anything?
Although I will say the Vanderpump Cocktail Garden was really fun because they served drinks the size of fish bowls. It was insane. It was truly insane. So so then Kristen and Katie sit down. I actually got basically Mother Nature was like, listen, let me do you a solid. Let me just interrupt right now because it was raining really hard in LA. And so my satellite started to go a little bit on the fritz. So some of it was like choppy, but basically Kristen and Katie sit down to talk about this whole situation, and Kristen just starts crying at the gate, and Katie is like, convenient narrative, don't want to listen.
Yeah. And she's like, come on, what the hell? I mean, I heard you about you guys. I heard you guys talking about the Vegas thing. Like, I had no idea what you were talking about. I had no idea I was on the no-fly list, dog. And she's like, well, I'm just inviting, like, my family. It's just, Estacia, Lala, and Ran.
Seriously, everyone but me. No, it's not everyone but you. I mean, we're inviting Max 1 and Max 2. True, we are inviting Brett Willis, even though he's not even, I don't even really know who he is. I just think that he might be related to Bruce. We're inviting, you know, Kevin Lee and, of course, you know, Kyle Chan. And we actually reached out to Vale from a few seasons ago, so she's coming. And also,
the Instagram twerker from Tom will be there.
JoJo's gonna be there. That girl who sometimes shows up in the Tom Tom scenes, she's gonna be there. But really, just small. It's small.
Yeah. She's like, oh God. And Katie goes, God, we just need a break, Kristen. She's like, you look me right in the eye, and you said we're not even sisters.
Charlie's like, did somebody say sister, sister? No, new person.
Katie's like, but have we been sisters? And she's like, but I love you. You're my sister. It's like, this isn't about me not loving you, okay? I wish you could see that.
Yeah, she's like, I literally love you more than anyone in my life. Like, I would jump into traffic for you. Remember when I broke my jaw because I fell out of an Uber? That's because I was doing it for you. I thought someone was coming for your ranch, and I said, stop it, and threw myself out of the Uber and tried to get myself run over. But it didn't sort of work. It worked. I got run over.
Oh, God, Kristen, she's just not that into you. Stop. It's not helping that you keep walking right up to her and sobbing every single time and trying to start a big fight, okay? This is, like, exactly what she doesn't want. And second of all, get some self-fucking respect. You're begging to be friends with Katie.
But also, Katie gives mixed messages. Katie's saying, like, I love you, but I need a break. Like, Kristen is right, saying, like, why do you say you love me, but then you give me a break? Then you're not going to have me at your wedding, even if we're on a break. Like, it is bullshit, too. I think that Kristen's hurt, and I support Kristen. I'm team Kristen.
I'm team Kristen on this, too.
I mean, you're right. She needs to have more self-confidence in general with Katie and with Carter and with, I'm sure, the vending machine that she's gotten to a few fights with. Seriously? Like, when can I have my candy bar? Seriously. Just stand up to these people in your life, Kristen.
Yeah. Ugh. I mean, you're begging to be friends with Katie. Ugh. So then Brett and Dana are, which of course, it's basically, she's also crying because she's basically being fired by Katie. You know, it's like Katie's just deciding, oh, I don't want you on the show anymore, so that's it. No one's shooting with you. The end. We're going to have these big monumental things without you, bitch. And that's, I think, bigger than the friendship. It's like, oh, okay, so now you're going to just try and, like, ruin my entire fucking life and my career. Fuck you, bitch.
Yeah, seriously. So then we go over to Brett and Dana. And Brett tells Dana that Sheena texted Max. And, like, apparently there is like, an issue. Because even though Sheena said she wasn't upset, she still texted Matt. And so then while they're talking, Lala just, like, pops up. And so then she joins the conversation. And she's like, oh, yeah, I heard that Sheena's really upset. Like, what's going on with that? So now it becomes the gossip session.
Yeah, congratulations, Brett. You're now a Lala.
Yeah.
Like, they're both like, oh, hi, you're the shitster of the new kids. I'm the shitster of the old kids. Okay, who are we going to tattletale on? Oh, the same person? Great.
Yeah. So Lala, So Lala's like, I'm going to get white girl wasted on Diet Coke. Yeah. So anyway.
And then we see her pick up a shot, which I'm assuming is orange juice.
I'm sure.
But yeah, people on the internet are like, did she have a shot?
I don't think Lala would do that. I actually believe in Lala. So I believe Lala's sober.
Do you believe in Lala?
I don't believe in Lala. I believe in her sobriety. I believe that her sobriety is a real thing.
It's like a weird new church. I believe in Lala.
You and Lala.
Today, for communion, we're tasting our own pussies. Okay. Pussy of Christ, blood of the pussy of Christ. All right, drink up, motherfuckers.
Jesus walked on water and I walk on fried chicken for Rand. So Dana's like, so Dana pulls Sheena aside because now she's heard from Lala and from Brett that Sheena's mad. And I have to admit, Ronnie, I tried as best I could to write down everything, but once Sheena started talking, I just couldn't even follow it. So basically,
I did too. I rewound it three times and I was like, same. Wait a minute.
I cannot, because Sheena was talking about what Max said to her and what she said to Brett. So basically, Dana pulls aside Sheena and goes, there are many things I want to deal with on my birthday, and I don't want to deal with some bullshit from you. I'm very confused right now. What'd you say to Max?
And she's like, I felt like I said it to your face. I felt it was weird for him as one of Max's closest friends for you guys to, like, go out. And then he was like, yeah. And then but Brett asked if it was cool. But then I was like, well, that kind of bothered me because he asked Brett if it was cool. But then you didn't ask me if it was cool. And she's like, but I did ask you. And she's like, no, you asked me what I thought about you guys going out, like, after you'd already gone out. So she is saying, like, you didn't ask my permission to go out and to see if it would hurt my feelings, but you're not best friends with Dana. You were a bitch to her until 5 minutes ago, so it's not the same thing as Max and Brett. She's just backpedaling because she's been caught, and so she just keeps spewing out a bunch of bullshit, basically.
Yeah, but to me, when I watched it, it sounded more like, no, like, you were not with Max, and then I was like, okay, like, well, okay, you're not with Max anymore, but you're with Brett. But, like, I was hanging with Brett, and Brett's, like, one of my best friends. So, like, and then I called Max. I'm like, why is she going out with Brett? Do you know she's going out with Brett? And Max was like, yeah, Brett. Like, I know about Brett, but I didn't really know about Brett. And I was like, I didn't really know about Brett, too. And I'm like, I'm not mad. And Max's like, I'm not mad either. But I was like, but I am sort of like, but now I think about it, I am sort of upset, but not at, like, this, but more like at that. And he was like, yeah, I'm upset, too. And so then I was like, okay, so then Brett was like this. And I was like, well, why don't you say this to thee? And why not to my face? And then Brett, and then Max, and then Dana to my face, and not to my face. And, like, I'm not mad or anything, but, like, to my face, and Brett and Max, Brett and Max and Brett, Max and Dana, you know?
Yeah, I ended that section of notes with dot, dot, dot. I can't falolo this shit.
I wrote down, literally cannot write down what Sheena is saying, something about Max being upset.
And then Dana goes, well, Max doesn't get a vote. Yep, I learned that from Brett earlier. We're already influencing each other.
Yeah. Just like that governor from Georgia. Did I do that one already? I don't remember. So Lala then goes up to Sheena. And she's like, what are you fighting about, Shishu? And Lala's like, and Sheena's like, well, it's about, like, this whole thing with, like, Jenna and Brett. And Lala's like, is it, though? Is it? She's like, I don't have feelings for Brett. Like, maybe in the future I'll have feelings for him, but I don't have feelings for him right now. I'm like, if you think you're going to have feelings for Brett in the future, doesn't that mean you have feelings for him right now? Am I crazy?
And Lala's like, but don't you notice that there's always a guy that you're doing this with? She's like, oh my god, like, in what way? And she's like, there's always a guy that you say is just your friend, just your best friend. She goes, yeah, because I like to have a single guy who's my best friend. And that's just how it is. Lala goes, yeah, but you had feelings for every single one of those guys. Just be honest about your feelings. And she goes, okay, I am honest. I cry every single day. But it's not about Dana. It's not about Max. It's not about Brad. It's my life. It's my life. Like, I'm doing this. IVF. I'm single. And I'm divorced. And I'm just doing this for a baby. It's like, okay, well, that's a step forward. You're opening up. Yeah. But you're opening up to Lala, you moron.
I know. She's like, I'm just, you know, I'm like, I'm doing this for, like, a maybe. It's like walking to a corner and yelling corner and then finding out it's still a straight wall. Ah.
And poor Sheena, she's like, oh, it's so frustrating to see everyone around me having what I want, you know. I just didn't think that this is where I would be at 34.
At the old, old weathered age of 34.
And Lala, Lala's so helpful. She goes, I didn't mean to trigger you.
Have you tested your vagina lately? So then we see Lisa with Brett, and Lisa has a lady boner for Brett, and she's like, "Ooh, Brett Willis, why you look? I'm sorry, Brett, non Willis, why do you look so worried?" And Brett's like, because I'm causing a ruckus with the girls."
Causing a ruckus? This is a fucking.
He's totally doing the Jax thing where he's just being like this, like, cute cavalier guy to Lisa.
He's like, I'm going to use old-timey language. I'm causing quite a ruckus with all these ladies.
I know.
And she's like, enjoy the ride. And he's like, I haven't had a ride yet. Best ride I've had was in your car.
And she's like, oh, Brett, you little sexy seahorse. What am I going to do with you? And he basically is like, he's like, yeah, well, if you said you wanted to make out right now, I wouldn't turn you away. I was like, ew, stop that.
Yeah. And he tells us, hey, I'm respectful. I respect Ken, but I have a feeling when I'm around her, and it's awesome because she just makes me so happy. And then he does that kind of wink thing to the camera. Ugh.
The feeling's called money. You smell money, you man whore.
Yeah. And then Charlie is, they're all taking group pictures, and Charlie's boob keeps falling out, and Jax is just sitting there like, leering at her boobs.
Like Little Red Riding Hood happening before our eyes. So, wow, Grandma, what giant fillers you have. So Stassi is then like telling Bo that there's drama about Vegas because now Kristen knows, etc. And but then she turns it into her own thing. She's like, I know, I shouldn't be involved. It's not my wedding. I get it. I'm never going to be engaged, Bo.
And then he's like, babe, we're going to be together forever, Bubba, until we die. We're going to die. We're going to grow old and die together, Bubba. And then cake time. And everybody starts putting cake all over each other's face. Wacky. And Dana's
which
like,
I hate.
I felt like my entire life, like I left... Like, I left my entire life behind in Seattle, and I thought my first birthday here was going to be macaroni and hot dogs. But, like, to have all of this, all of these people celebrating me, I mean, less than a year after I got this gig by hanging out with Peter in a bathroom. I mean, you just never know where life is going to take you, do you?
You never know. So, yeah, so she's blowing out the cake, and then Tom Sandoval pushes her face into the cake, and then it's like, throwing cake on everyone. And Charlie is like me. She just, like, bolts out of there. She's like, I don't do that. I don't do that. But then the cake gets on her anyway. And we see this shot of this, like, homely girl just wiping down Charlie's face. And Charlie's going, my skincare routine, can't afford this.
And then Brett and Dana have cake all over their faces, and they start making out in front of everyone. Poor Sheena's like, oh my God! Are they already married too?
Sheena's, like, urgently calling San Diego, cancel the penguin. Cancel the penguin!
If anyone touches me with this cake, I'm gonna fucking lose my shit!
And then they show, like, the Vanderpump Rules cast picture. And poor Sheena, like, I think talking about getting old and weathery is, like, aging Sheena. Because that picture, where they're all just sitting there, she looks like an old telenovela star. Like, the old 80-year-olds who are like, oi, how could you do this to me? Oh, Sheena, lighten up. You're Sheena. You're lucky. Yeah, you're Sheena, okay? Like, you get to walk around every day as Sheena.
Well, as she told me, when I saw her, what, like a month ago, she goes, I walked so the new kids could fly.
Well, there you go. Oh, Sheener. Okay, everybody, that brings us to the end of Vanderpoop Drools. We will be back tomorrow with Summer House. And all week, we have new episodes coming out every single day of Tiger King. You can get them as audio on regular Patreon or as video as part of Crappens on Demand. On Crappens on Demand Patreon. Also, we are doing our live show. Don't forget, it's a week from Friday, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. We will be on Instagram at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern. And then we're going to move over at 6:30 p.m. to Crappens on Demand to do a live stream. We will talk to you next time.
Bye, everyone. Bye.
With the Now TV Sky Cinema Pass, you can start streaming the best movies around. From brand new blockbusters like Rocketman and The Lion King, to all-time favourites, including the Harry Potter collection. Whatever you feel like watching, we've got you covered. all with no contract. To start your 7-day free trial today, search Now TV. 18 plus new customers only. Auto renews at $11.99 per month unless cancelled. Cancel at any time. Terms apply.
This is Acast Recommends. Every week we pick one of our favourite shows, and this is one we think you're going to love.
So Some Families is a new podcast that explores every aspect of parenting through an LGBTQ plus lens.
I'm Lottie Jeffs, an author, journalist and reformed magazine editor and a mum of one.
I'm Stu Oakley, a film publicist who thought I was used to dealing with divas until I had toddlers.
Some Families will answer questions, break down myths and share funny, emotional and true stories. Subscribe now because seriously, you don't want to miss a single episode.
Acast is home to the biggest podcasts from the UK and around the world. Subscribe to this show and hundreds more now via Acast or wherever you get your podcasts.